The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was standing one day by the lake of Gennesaret, with the crowd pressing round him, listening to the word of God, when he caught sight of two boats close to the bank. The fishermen had gone out to them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, it was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and pay out your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will pay out the nets." And when they had done this, they netted such a huge number of fish that their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their companions in the other boats to come and help them. When these came, they filled the two boats to sinking point. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and his companions were completely overcome by the catch they had made. So also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on it's men you will catch." Then, bringing their boats back to land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. When the church crossed the threshold of the new millennium, now 16 years ago, Pope St. John Paul II wrote a beautiful apostolic letter speaking of the new stage of the church's journey. And he picked out today's gospel in his opening paragraph, where Jesus invites Peter to put out into deep water, pay out your nets for a catch. And the Latin phrase that he picked up and gave was "duc in altum." And it was a catchphrase that many preachers used in those days. And the Pope went on to say, "These words ring out for us today and invite us to remember the past with gratitude, to live the present with enthusiasm, and to look forward to the future with confidence." It's only 16 years ago, but it strikes, I think, all of us that it's a very different world that we're now in than it was then. To live the present with enthusiasm, we look around what's happening and has been happening around the world for a while, and it leaves us with so many questions of a deep sense of sadness and bewilderment and inadequacy. And even though Pope Francis picked up the same exhortation when Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, he invited us to follow both Pope John Paul II and Benedict in renewing ourselves as a missionary church with the new evangelization and giving us this year of mercy, inviting us to share that. I think it still leaves all of us with a sense of inadequacy, many questions, many failings, a reluctance almost to know where to begin in sharing the gospel. The sense of inadequacy actually comes through from all three of the readings. So that might remind us, far from being the exception, it's actually the norm. We're not alone in such feelings. Isaiah goes into the temple. He's upset, he's worried, and he's anxious. The king has died, King Uzziah. What's going to happen next? Because Isaiah lived through one of the most turbulent, trying periods of Israel's history. In his time, the northern kingdom was surrounded by Assyria. Assyria today would incorporate Syria itself, Iraq, and even stretched out as far as parts of Iran. And its capital was Nineveh. Nineveh that Jonah the prophet was sent to announce repentance to before it was destroyed. If I say to you that parts of Nineveh were razed to the ground by ISIL last year, ISIS, and the people of Assyria in Isaiah's day were known for their violence and their bloodshed. What's changed? What's different? Very little, in a way. When we see, you just saw those people fleeing from from the top part of Syria yesterday into Turkey. We need say no more. But Isaiah's vision of God leaves him with a great sense of overwhelming unworthiness. What a wretched state I'm in. I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And Isaiah's alarm can be almost echoed within our own hesitancy to believe or to be bewildered by all that's going on. And how do we spread the good news in today's world when the attacks on the faith seem to increase daily, different ways and different places around the world? And sometimes the past is very difficult to understand and to defend, and that can be true of all of us, of our own lives, but also of the church's life and the nation's life and the world's life as well. But his unworthiness is swept aside because the Lord himself touched Isaiah. He sent the seraph with one of the coals, touch his lips. You say lips are unclean, touch them, purified him and renewed him for mission. So that the prophet can say at the end, here am I, send me. And that's a simple reminder that we don't prepare ourselves ultimately to serve the Lord. The Lord calls us, we do what we can, but it's the Lord who's preparing us and equipping us for our mission. And that's what our evangelization group that's meeting on Mondays are discovering as we go through our next book to try and understand our faith and how we spread that. But that feeling of inadequacy stretches to the gospel, because Peter's dismay at the Lord's request to pay out the nets for a catch. Here is the carpenter. We had it in last week's reading. Isn't this the carpenter from Nazareth? All right, maybe a bit of a preacher, but really he's the carpenter. Who does he think he is telling a fisherman, seasoned fisherman at that, who knew all about things, we've worked blooming hard all night long, Lord, and you don't seem to take any notice. But nevertheless, Peter does what the Lord asks. I will pay out the nets. Reluctantly, it seems. And then, as you know, they're netted this huge catch. And that drew from Peter his sense, too, of inadequacy. Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Critics like to make a lot of cynical remarks about Catholic guilt, and we often laugh about it ourselves. But in actual fact, like Lent itself, it's actually quite a good master. Guilt can be the appropriate response to having done wrong, in fact should be, and the denial of guilt is one of the problems of life today. But for Isaiah, for St. Paul, I'll get to, for Simon Peter, their sense of guilt was part of their experience of their vision of God. Grandeur, love, the beauty of God. Simon Peter, see him there in Jesus. Isaiah with his vision in the temple. Happily, Jesus doesn't take Peter at his word and won't leave him, but tells him those immortal words that you need to hear every day. I'm always saying it to you. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. As it were, he's saying to him, stay with me, for you will be part of my mission. So that Peter is called away from the fixation with his own sinfulness and preoccupation with himself and come to Jesus, who came for sinners, who is always with them and died between two of them. Great teaching there. Jesus doesn't count us out because we're sinners. We're the very people he came to save. And so because he can see beyond the sin to the sinner and what he can do with that one. That's why St. Paul, in our second reading, says, first of all, Christ died for our sins. And even Paul, at the end of that reading, admits his own destructiveness in persecuting the church of God and how bad he was. But he knows once he met Christ, that changed everything, because the love and the grace and the mercy that he received from Christ is enough. And that's all we can ask. We come in. We acknowledge our sins as we come in. We experience something of the love of God in a few minutes. We sing Sanctus, 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 or Holy, 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 that song that Isaiah heard in the temple, the eternal Sanctus that's ever sung. And then it sends us out at the end because our response should be, here am I, send me.